let me invite you to go ahead and open your Bibles, if you will, to the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28. And I just want to say what an outstanding morning of song and worship and music. And I just have to say that every week I grow more and more grateful for Dave and the leadership that he provides and the effort and the work that he puts in to leading us in worship. And he is doing an outstanding job, and I am very, very thankful for everything that he does. I'm excited about a few things that we've spoken about. I want to remind you that we will have our Good Friday service here in a few weeks, and so that's going to be on Good Friday where we will meet together and we will just focus on the crucifixion of our Lord through song and through the reading of Scripture. And so just going to be some exciting times that are ahead of us, and so I hope that you're doing everything that you can to support and participate with all of these opportunities that we have. Now, I want to remind us that what we're in the process of doing right now is we're just kind of having a bit of a family discussion. We're talking about this little sermon series that I've entitled Quest, Rediscovering Our Vision, Rediscovering Our Mission, and Rediscovering Our Strategy. And so as we focus our attention upon these things, I want you to remember that this is just, for the most part, it's just us talking about where the gathering at La Junta is and where the gathering at La Junta is going. I'm asking myself these questions, and I hope that you're asking yourself these types of questions. What lies in the future for this congregation? What is it that we need to address? What is it that we need to pray for? And what is it that we need to contribute to for the ongoing ministry of the gathering of La Junta Baptist Church as we move into the future where God is taking us? And this is so critical because you recognize that in your home, having family discussions are healthy. You could probably look at a few times throughout your family where you would have to gather everyone around the kitchen table and you would begin to ask the questions, where are we going? What are we doing? What are our goals? What are our aspirations? You talk about the future. You pray for the growing up of your kids and the growing up of your grandkids and of your great-grandkids. You cast vision and develop goals for where you want to be when you're 25, when you're 35, when you're 55, when you're 75. All of these things are critical, and all of these things are what creates a healthy atmosphere within the home. And it also helps to create a healthy atmosphere within the life of the church. I don't know if you noticed or not, but there's a little bit of construction that's going on in our midst, right? Have you driven up 199 to Lake Worth? Have you gone off into Azle a little bit and seen all of the neighborhoods beginning to pop up? Well, I began to this past week to receive some demographic surveys for our area. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram ran an article here a few months back that said that the population west of 820 is expected to increase by 117,000 people in the next 20 years. West of 820. Within a 10-mile radius of our church. So if you put this church at the very center as the pin and you go out 10 miles, it is expected that there will be a population growth in the next 5 years. The next 5 years of 7,200 people. 10 miles. 5 years, 7,200 people that are going to move into the community where we are called to minister to. Now, you may be asking the question, why are we doing this? Some of you may be asking today, why does this matter to the life of our church? Why do we need to talk about this stuff? Why do we need to talk about the future? Doesn't God have the future in His hands? Is it any of our business what the future holds? Well, we don't take that approach with anything else in our lives. You set up a retirement account because you know that it's wise to plan for the future. You buy insurance on your home and on your health because you know that it's wise to be prepared for what happens in the future. You make plans for where you're going on vacation this coming summer because you recognize that preparation for the future is essential to having a healthy life. Perhaps you say, well, doesn't the Bible say that we're not to worry about tomorrow? Yeah, it says don't worry about tomorrow. But it doesn't say don't plan for tomorrow. As a matter of fact, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The Message would translate that or interpret that verse this way. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are the most blessed. The Bible teaches us the principle of praying for God to give to us a vision for movement into the future. As a matter of fact, I think we could say this, that the health of a church is assessed by its participation in the Great Commission. And that's why I've chosen today the Great Commission as our text from which we are going to take this. Now, quickly, there are three reasons I think that this type of a series, re-examining our vision, our mission, and our strategy is important. Three reasons why this type of a series is necessary. Number one, why is this necessary? Because God really condemns people to hell who aren't saved. He really does it. It's not mythological, figurative language. Number two, why do we do this? Because God really saves people through Jesus Christ. It's not just for better living. It is for eternal living. And number three, why do we do this? Not only because God really condemns people to hell, and because God really saves people through Jesus, but number three, because the church really matters in changing people's destinies for their eternal life. And what God has given to us to do as a church, as people who have received the Great Commission, it really matters. It makes the difference between heaven and hell for real people. And therefore, it is essential that we not think that we have done our godly duty because we've been in attendance. It is essential that we realize that when God summoned us to believe in Him, and God changed our hearts by His Holy Spirit, and God confronts us with His Word, that the way that you and I, as the gathering at La Junta Baptist Church, respond to these things makes a difference in the lives of individuals. I went to a conference this past week. Sandy and I went, and we listened to kind of some evangelism. It's the evangelism conference. It took place over in Irving, and so we were able to hang out there with some friends, as well as listen to some people, give some testimonies and things like that. And I have a friend who pastors a church in Alabama, and he was just kind of recounting his history of pastoring that church. And he said that when I got to the church, he went back to his home church. He was raised in this church, moved off to college, went off to seminary, went on staff at a very large church in Atlanta, and God called him back to the church in which he was raised. He said when he got back to the church, he was going through the church building in that day. It was a church about like ours. And he said that he was looking in closets and going through Sunday school rooms. Then he walks back to where the baptistry is. He said that it had been so long since the church had had a baptism that they literally had begun to use the baptistry as storage space. And he said the first thing that he did is he summoned the people, and they backed up trailers, and they began to unload the baptistry of all the stuff that had been stored in it across the years because they didn't have a better use for it. That's not what I want. I hope that's not what you want. Last week we looked at our vision, which is to be a multi-generational church that is engaging the community, the nation, and the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today I want us to look at our mission. Our mission is to be a church that is growing biblically, that is developing spiritually, and that is living generously. Now, you may ask the question, what is the difference between vision and mission? Well, vision is where we're going, right? Vision is this idea that I pray, and I think this has been given by the Lord to our church, that we are to be a church who makes it our pursuit to be a multi-generational church that is engaging the community, the nation, and the world with the gospel of Jesus. That's where we're going. That's out there on the horizon. That's the vision. The mission says, okay, how do we get there? And I would say that there are three ways in which we are going to get there. And that is, number one, for every member that we have to grow biblically. Number two, it is for every member that we have to develop spiritually. And number three, it is that each member will live generously. And that's what I want for us to be. That's what I want for us to do. So we get this vision, and now we're going to achieve that vision by God's grace by doing these three things. And so I want us today to examine these three concepts. Are you growing biblically? Are you developing spiritually? And are you living generously? And I want us to do so using the Great Commission as our text. And so let's look at the Great Commission together. Matthew chapter 28. And verses 19 through 20. And there the Bible says, "Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." And there is Jesus' final commission to the life of the church. Go and make disciples of all nations. Are we doing that? There's our vision. Are we engaging the community, the nation, and the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ? We are to baptize them in the name of this triune God who is Father, Son, and Spirit, and then we are to teach them everything that God has commanded us to teach them. So, from this mission, this mission of growing biblically, I want us to look then at the Great Commission. The first thing I want us to see is growing biblically, the Great Commission and the Bible. The Great Commission and the Bible. You see, the first part of our mission as a church is that we are to grow as individuals. We are to grow biblically in our understanding of what it means to be a follower of Christ. But you see, to grow biblically is not simply growing in our knowledge of the Bible. It is growing in our conformity to the Bible. Are we a Bible-driven church? I'm not asking whether or not we conform to biblical morality. I am asking if we are a biblically shaped church. A biblically shaped church is not filled with princes. A biblically shaped church is filled with nomads. They recognize that the possessions of this world are not given in order to further the reach, or that the possessions of this world are given in order to further the reach of the gospel. That is why God has given to us what God has given to us as a church and as Christians, that is for us to be shaped by a biblical understanding of the Great Commission. Well, to be a biblically shaped Christian is to be a participant in the Great Commission. Failure to participate in the Great Commission indicates that there is something missing in the shape of what we are. God is in the process of molding us into people who are fit for service to His kingdom. A number of years ago, when I would work in a shop, we had a welder there who worked in the shop, and one of the things that he had to do on a regular basis was pour hot lead into a mold. And so they were creating these big weights, and they were, about 18 inches tall and probably about 3 inches round. Now, that's lead, and that's heavy, right? You get that much lead, and that's quite a bit of weight. And he had these big molds, and he would melt the lead down on the fire, and then he would pour the lead into the mold. And then after the lead would cool, he would open up the mold, and then he would take out the lead that had been formed in the mold. But what would happen is that there were areas in the mold where the lead was able to seep through, so there would come these rough edges around that mold that he was making. And so after he would take the lead out of that mold, what he would have to do is take a grinder and begin to grind off the sharp edges of that big lead weight that he had just molded. Now listen. The Word of God is the grinder that grinds off the sharp edges of who we are. It grinds away the sharp edges of our church. It grinds away the sharp edges of our individual lives. And the way we become molded, fit for the task of the Great Commission, is that we become a biblically shaped church. A church that is shaped by the Bible alone. I've been asking the Lord to shape me into what He desires me to be. And I am asking the Lord to shape you into what He desires for you to be. Because when I am shaped, and when you are shaped, then we become shaped. And when that happens, we will begin to be a church that is multi-generational and is engaging the community, the nation, and the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, I have one thing on my heart, and only one thing. And that is that we would become a multi-generational church that is engaging this world, this community, this nation, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it prompts me then to ask myself, how are we doing at discipling? How are we doing at getting people involved in the Great Commission? My answer? Well, we need to improve. Just an honest answer. We need to improve. there's a fine line between being a critic and being critical. As I examine who we are, well, God has blessed us in manifold ways. But we also have areas that need to be addressed. For a number of reasons, all of which I don't have time to explain this morning, I think one of the first things that we need to address is our discipleship process. You see, the vast majority of churches that are experiencing sustainable growth, and by sustainable, I don't mean just becoming monstrous in a flash. I mean consistent development of seeing people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, are doing so, hear me, not because primarily of the worship service, but because primarily of the small group Bible study gatherings. And that's true across the nation. Churches who are seeing and involving and engaging in sustainable growth are doing so because they are developing small Bible studies where people can connect for the purpose of engaging in the Great Commission that God has called us to engage in. And so I've begun to have some conversations with some people in our church who I'm talking about our discipleship process about. And this and what we are looking at doing then is developing some classes that are targeted in four different areas. Area number one will be very much what we do now, which is primarily biblical studies. Old Testament, New Testament surveys. Walking through the book of Philippians or through the book of Nehemiah. Studies over the Holy Spirit or over Christ and His crucifixion. Biblical studies. Area number two. Spiritual development. Spiritual development. By this, I mean prayer and worship. Area number three, outreach and missions. How to share your faith. How to talk to your neighbor about the Lord Jesus Christ. How to host a dinner in your home so that you can share with your co-workers' family about who Christ is and how Christ can save them. And then area number four is practical living. Things such as marriage, family, finances. All of these areas being things that we as a church need to begin to look at. Are we equipping our membership to take these things so that they are growing in their biblical formation so that when we look at them, we can say, that is an individual whose life is shaped by the Word of God. Now, obviously I can't give all of the details in the short time that we have this morning, but I'm telling you now because I want you to see where our church, I believe, needs to be moving toward in the future. If we will be prepared to move into the future as a viable and healthy ministry that is participating in the Great Commission, we must address these issues. Are we growing biblically? The second part of this mission is, are we developing spiritually? The Great Commission and the spiritual life. You see, the barometer for our spiritual development is our participation in the Great Commission. There are many things that reflect the health of the church. Its internal unity. Its financial health. The ratio of attendance to membership. But hear me. There is no more critical measurement for the church's health than that the church's participation in the Great Commission is its primary passion. There is no more greater barometer for the church's spiritual health than the church's participation in the Great Commission as its primary movement, as its primary purpose, as its primary desire. And this goes back to the three things that I said, this is the reason we need to address these issues. Because people are really going to hell. And Jesus really saves. And the church plays a vital, irreplaceable role in making that difference. So what does it mean for us to develop spiritually? Well, first of all, a church that really prays is a church that participates in the Great Commission. If we're truly praying, then we will have out of the outflow of that a participation in the Great Commission. I hear people regularly tell me, and I agree with the sentiment, but it's only half the story. People regularly tell me, we can evangelize all we want, but if we don't pray, it's of no good. I agree with that. Evangelism apart from prayer is powerless evangelism. I agree with that wholeheartedly. But that's only half the story. It's also equally true that a church that only prays without evangelizing is a church who is ineffective. We have to have 1 + 1 = 2. We can't have 1 + nothing = 2. A church that really prays is a church that participates in the Great Commission. Secondly, a church that really worships. We're talking about spiritual disciplines here. A church that really worships is a church that participates in the Great Commission. A church that is engaged in worship is a church that is actively engaging in the work of the Great Commission. Psalm 96, 1 through 6 says this, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations." Notice how He moves from singing a new song, singing of the praises of the Lord, to declaring among the nations His glory. Worship fuels mission. And the reason there is so little mission is because there is so little worship. One man said that missions exist because worship does not. In other words, what we ought to be praying for is the Lord to give to us a burden that all the nations will worship. And that burden flows out of our own participation in worship. You see, a church that comes before the Lord in worship is a church that goes before the world in witness. Biblical worship moves us from the sanctuary to the streets. Thirdly, not only growing biblical, developing spiritually, but thirdly, living generously. The Great Commission and servanthood. You see, generosity has been a staple of biblical Christianity throughout Scripture. In Exodus chapter 36, the people give so much to fund the construction of the tabernacle that Moses finally has to say, "Stop! You're giving too much." In Luke chapter 7, a former prostitute worships elaborately by anointing Jesus' feet with expensive perfume to serve as a testimony to His atonement for our sins. In Luke chapter 21, a widow gives 2 mites, all that she has, to the work of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul commends the Macedonians because they gave beyond their ability. And so for us, first of all, to be a Great Commission church, for us to be people who are living generously, is for us to give generously to the work of the kingdom of God. But generosity is not simply a matter of money. Generosity is also a manner of living. We are to be generous with our love to the lost. We are to be generous with our service to those who do not know Christ. We are to be generous with ministry to those who are in need. You see, generosity in ministering to others has always been a part of the church when it is at its best. One of Christianity's most violent persecutors in the beginning of the New Testament times was a man by the name of Julian. Julian was an emperor. And Julian would take note of the Christians for their generosity. He once said that those godless Galileans, they take care not only of their own poor, but they take care of ours as well. You see, generosity has always been a staple of biblical Christianity, because one of the primary ways that we are able to engage our community, the nation, and the world with the Great Commission is to raise awareness and intercede and give toward those who are in need. J.D. Greer tells how prayer was a vital witnessing tool when he was a missionary in Southeast Asia. He talks about how he lived in a predominantly Muslim area. And so what he would do is he would walk the streets, and if he would see someone who was going through a difficult time, he would simply ask them, "Can I pray for you?" Well, they would ask him, "Yes, I would love for you to pray for me." And eventually it got to the point where people began to seek him out for prayer. And so when he prayed initially for them to be moved by God as he prayed for them to be healed, he eventually had them coming into his home where he was able to lay hands on them and pray for Jesus to heal, and prayed in Jesus' name in a predominantly Muslim area. One day as he was at home, a 12-year-old boy would come with a group of his friends, and he knocked on Greer's door and said, "Sir, I would like to ask you to come and pray for my mom." J.D. looks out across all of these 12-year-old boys who are being raised in the Muslim faith. He says, "What would you do?" He said, "Of course I would go and pray for him." And as J.D. and this group of boys are traveling to the boy's home, they're on this journey, he hears behind him one of the boys ask the son who had come to get Greer to ask him for prayer. The Muslim boy turned to his friend and said, "Isn't this man a Christian? Why do you want him to come and pray?" The boy responded, "Yes, I know he is not a Muslim, but I have seen this man pray, and God listens to him." All because Greer was willing to do the simple act of asking, "Can I pray for you?" You see, it's living generously. You may think that you're inadequate to start a conversation with another person about Jesus. But if you can demonstrate concern for those who are hurting, God will open doors for you to share Jesus with those who are in need. Now think about this for just a moment. We talk about living generously as able to fulfill the Great Commission, and we think, well, I live generously. I gave 10% this morning. I'm done. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't just pour out 10% of His blood? Aren't you glad that Jesus exhausted His life for your salvation? See, if we, as La Junta Baptist Church, are going to move into this future. As God, and if you look across the horizon, it's almost as if what God has said is, all right, you're not going into the mission field. Let's do this. I'm going to bring the mission field to you. Houses over there and businesses over there and highways being widened there. And we see Him coming. And we see Him coming. And we see Him coming. And every single one of them, God has said, I don't will for them to perish. I want for them to come to the knowledge of salvation. And God is asking His people, will you get serious about it? You see, the future of our congregation is as bright as the power of God and as bright as our faithfulness to the will of God. I recognize sometimes there are some years that the tree produces less fruit than other years. And I realize that there are years where the fruit might get diseased and much of it fall to the ground to be of no use. I recognize that. But I also recognize that Jesus is the vine. And His Father is the vine dresser. And He is the one who determines the crop. But He asks us to look up and see that the fields are ripe for harvest. But the laborers are few. What I am asking us as a church to do is family conversation. It's for us to catch a vision from God. And to go for it. People are really going to hell. Jesus really saves. And what you and I do makes a difference. You see, the greatest service that we can offer to the kingdom of God is that we glorify God through reaching people with the good news of the gospel. But remember the good news. The gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. There must be a sense of urgency. It is a sense of urgency that is the greatest weapon against unnecessary distractions. And the reason we can become so easily distracted is because we feel and sense so little urgency. You pray for God to give you an urgency. Would you pray for God to move us as a congregation into the future with a vision that is as bright as the glory of God? I have many more things that I want to say, and I'm just going to have to wait for the weeks to come. But I'm asking you, the world is tired of nominal, undevoted, insincere Christianity who fuss and fight and fume over insignificant issues. God is asking us to catch His vision and to get on board and to participate. What is that vision? I believe the way we best articulate it for us is to be a multi-generational church, engaging the community, the nation, and the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? How do we get there? We become a Christ-centered fellowship, this Christ-centered fellowship that is growing biblically, developing spiritually, and living generously. And that begins for us in our conversation today, that begins by you and I recognizing that we need to get the internal right as the external begins to move. Right? So let's get all of this right. Because growth without preparation leads to devastation. When we are prepared and we're trusting the Lord and we do our due diligence, God says, there's a people who's going to steward what I'm doing. And if you'll be faithful with a little, I'll give you much. Are you on board? I want you to be. I'm asking you to be. See, we only have a short time, very short time. God has given to each one of us a very short window of life. You watch the Billy Graham funeral this last week, you may have heard that the casket in which he was buried is a casket that was built by a prisoner in Angola prison. The prisoner built the casket for Ruth Graham first, and then the casket for Billy Graham second. Ruth Graham passed away. The casket of Billy had already been constructed, but the prisoner died between the two. Here's the point. Whether it's a prisoner in Angola prison or the most world-renowned evangelist we've seen in our lifetime, the end is always the same. It is appointed once unto man to die, and then the judgment. And every person who's meeting with a realtor today, and every person who's having their mail changed to a new address, is going to die. And they're either going to go to heaven or they're going to go to hell. And you and I have the power, by God's grace, to make a difference. That truth is true for you as well. You have a very short window. Use your life for His glory by spreading the fame of His name. Will you look to that future with me? I hope so. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You today, our prayer is that You would look down upon this gathering of people, and that we would ask You, O God, to give to us a burden for what lies in front of us. A burden, Father, that has been given by You. That, Father, in the feeling of that burden, we would find our hope in a vision. The burden given by You, the vision given by You, and now, Father, that we would be responsible to carry that burden toward that vision. And as we do so, Father, You would summon men and women and children from all over to come and be a part of the kingdom of Your Son and of the Christ of this world. Father, I pray for every individual who is here today
God, would you reignite and stoke the fires of service for your glory? Were that to be so, Father, we know it would be a work of your grace. And it is that grace which we seek. In Jesus' name, amen.